Now that the game is done, it's our time to check in.
Here's Lopez spinning down the lane and rocking the rim with a big two-hand jam with a foul on the first offensive play of the game.
Bucks Talk starts now.
Giannis drives inside. Oh, he finishes with a little flare.
And now, live from Fiserv Forum, here's Justin Garcia and Brandon Snide.
Well, a win is a win. And as we've said many times, to start to win games, get into the win column. You can figure out the optics. You can figure out what needs to be cleaned up, what adjustments need to be made as you progress. It's almost a tournament mentality. Fitting of all nights tonight, as this was the beginning of this year's NBA Cup. But it's almost that mentality of survive and advance. Just win these games, improve upon the record, move closer to 500, and you can start to figure out these things along the way. But you got to win. Doc Rivers talked in length before the game today about what he's seen from this group recently, what he likes that he's seen, the spirit that's been with this team. He said for a couple of times now this season, I can feel a run coming. I know it's close. I like what I'm seeing behind closed doors, everything that takes place in practice, what he sees in walkthroughs and shoot-arounds with this team. I sense a run is coming, and I really feel it's going to be close. He mentioned before the game today, look, we've played much better of late. I mean, the two outliers, really in the last, 2 weeks for the Bucks, are the Memphis Grizzlies game and the New York Knicks game. And it's tougher to justify those when we've seen it happen multiple times this season. But those are the two you would look at and just say that's nowhere near what it needs to be. Two games against the Cavaliers, you were very competitive. Cavs have the best record in the league. They've still yet to lose. You lost those two games by a combined 3 points. One of the losses came on a final shot with less than a second remaining by Donovan Mitchell. The other one, you were down 19. You came back, you made it a game, and ultimately fell short. Your two losses to the Boston Celtics. You were in command in the first half here at home. 11-point halftime lead that ultimately disappeared. Took about 2 minutes for it to disappear into the second half. But you were competitive with Boston. Even after letting it go, you're still in it towards the end. You were competitive with the Celtics for 3 out of the 4 quarters on the road in Boston. They've played much better of late. But it's one thing to be searching for moral victories and say, hey, we played good. We're getting there. You still got to start to win these games. That was the main point being driven home by Doc Rivers before the game today. And that's what they did today. Now, was it a pretty win? No. Was there a lot that you liked that you saw? Maybe not so much. But there were a few things that you liked. And I think a lot of that starts with the young players, but it's not just the young guys. I think it was the attitude, the mentality, and the way this team played today, which is very important. Some numbers that may be a bit deceiving when you look at the stat sheet. Very important for the Bucks today. And maybe the return of a player we had very, very high hopes for coming out of the offseason, one of the additions the Bucks made in the offseason, and what he brought to this team tonight. So those are the positives that I took from this game. Which did you take, or how did you leave this game feeling tonight? 855-616-1620. The number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. The positives to take away from a 3-8 start, but a 14-point win against, look, it's not a great Raptors team. We ran up and down their resume during the broadcast. It is not a very good defensive team, to put it mildly. You talk about the players the Bucks were playing without. Toronto Raptors equally feeling it as well on their injury report, essentially their entire starting lineup, save for Grady Dick, who had a big game tonight, out tonight against the Bucks. But you just got to start to win. That's the important part. Just start to win and put that 2-8 behind you and move forward. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll get into the positives from this game, what I took away from it. And we mentioned the NBA Cup quite a few times already. So the 101 on the NBA Cup, where we're currently at, everything you need to know about groups, the importance of point differential, when the Bucks play a cup game again. We'll go through all of that after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
99-85, our final here inside of Fiserv Forum. The Bucks get back in the win column. They knock off the Toronto Raptors. 3-8, still not where you hoped to be, but it is a win. And as we said, the team is playing better. I know it wasn't a pretty performance in New York against the Knicks, but for the most part, you know, the last 10 or so days, they have been playing much better. You just have not seen that yield the results you're looking for. So it's important to start to win these games. Pat Connaughton was talking with us afterwards on the radio post game and said, you know, one of the reporters pointed out to me, we were 3-9 the year of the championship year. I think maybe the signals got crossed a little bit there through the first 12 games of the title year in the 2020-2021 season. Essentially the 2021 season with it starting the week of Christmas. But through the first 12 games of that season, the Bucks were 8-4. They were, however, 3-9 in the 2000-2001 season when they reached the Eastern Conference Finals and won 52 games. 52-30 record after starting 3-9, going 49-17 the rest of the way. Now, can you expect this group to do that? You shouldn't. Not when you have juggernauts like the Boston Celtics, the Cleveland Cavaliers, still got to play the entire Western Conference, do the Bucks, and how loaded that is. But the point of all of it is 12 games is, and we're not even at 12, we're at 12 games now, but 11 games. 12 games, though, for that sample size, is far too early to write off a team, even if the Bucks lose tomorrow to the Detroit Pistons, which could happen. It is night two of a back-to-back for both teams. The Pistons have been playing very well. Pistons are the younger team. Like, that's going to be the thing to keep an eye on in these back-to-backs. Young teams versus the Bucks. But even if you're 3-9, it is too early to write off the season and say it's over. It's disappointing. It is frustrating. It is not where you expect it to be. But there are still 70 games remaining. Now, this stretch is arguably the most important for the Bucks. I understand what I just said. It's too early to worry about that. 11 games is still relatively early. You know, when we get to the 23-game mark after this 11 that I'm talking about here. But it's important because of this. There are no games with the Celtics. There are no games with the Cavs. There are no games with teams like the Denver Nuggets, the Oklahoma City Thunder, even the 76ers who have gotten Joel Embiid back as of tonight, or the New York Knicks. The bulk of your schedule for the next couple weeks until you get to your final matchup with the Boston Celtics on December 6th, the bulk of your schedule is the Pistons, the Raptors, the Wizards, the Miami Heat. You do have the Houston Rockets on there, but those are the types of teams that you're playing. And 9 of those 11 are at home. So that's why this is important, because as we said, you just got to start to win games, figure out the rest, clean up the rest after that, just win games and move closer to 500, get to 500, move past 500, do that and start to work on the rest of it. This is the schedule or the portion of it you need to do that against. Even if the Bucks are 500 on Christmas Day, it is certainly not ideal. It is unexpected. It is not what we hope to see. It's still very early. But the further it goes on, the challenge is going to be this. The longer you're taking two steps forward and one step backward, or worse, the worse spot you're putting yourself in because of the schedule that waits for you in March. And if you don't have things adjusted and figured out by then, you're going to be in a world of trouble with how difficult things get towards the end of the season. So that's why it's just important. Figure all this out now. Start to win some games. The Eastern Conference, outside of the top two teams in the conference, is still very wide open. I'm not going to say it's there for the taking. I don't think the Bucks are going to catch the Cleveland Cavaliers. I don't think the Bucks are going to catch the Boston Celtics. But when you look at the rest of the conference, you got three teams that are 500 after tonight's results. the Magic, the Knicks, and the Indiana Pacers. 6-6, 5-5, 5-5. The Nets are 5-6. The Pistons are 5-7. The Hawks are 5-7. The Heat are 4-6. The Bulls are 4-7. The Charlotte Hornets are 4-7. And then there's you at 3-8. That's the other thing. You went from 14th in the conference to 12th. And the other really nice part is defensively, after this game tonight and allowing 85 points to the Raptors, you went from 26th in defense to 17th overnight. So movement that you're starting to see there. But as we sit here at 3-8, the Bucks are 2.5 games out of the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference. 2.5 games back of the 6-6 Orlando Magic. That is the biggest reason. Not only that it's early, but because other than the Celtics and the Cavs, and really the more time progresses, the more it's really just the Cavs. Other than the Cavs, no one is really running away with this thing. Celtics and Cavs still the only teams with winning records in the Eastern Conference. So just start to weather the storm and right the ship. And before you know it, when we're talking about, hey, look at the Bucks, worst record in the East, second worst record in the East, still outside of the play-in tournament. Well, let's say the Bucks win tomorrow night. You're 4-8. The Pistons would drop to 5-8. So you would be a half game back of Detroit. You'd be knocking on the door of the 10 seed. You got the Charlotte Hornets, your next game after that, after 2 days off. Charlotte Hornets team that looks pretty good so far, at least comparative to where they've been in recent years. Charlotte's 4-7. So again, you win these two games, three games including tonight, you're 5-8. Not pretty. Not where you expected to be with all the talk we had about, hey, the roster's improved. Every single one of the guys that you brought in the offseason, they are better than the players that they're replacing. A lot of reasons to be optimistic. The chemistry, year number two with Giannis and Dame. Year number 1.5 with the Bucks and Doc Rivers. Building up your coaching staff with Greg Buckner coming over from the Cavs. Darvin Ham rejoining as well. All these things we pointed to of why this year is going to go differently. And through the first 10 games, we didn't see it. But there's still a lot of opportunities out there. And especially with this schedule that sits here in front of you. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. We'll get to some text messages. And I mentioned we've gone over the NBA Cup quite a few times or referenced it so far on this show and on the network post-game show. Run through the groupings. I'd said the Bucks have the Pistons in their group. The Pistons already won tonight. But we'll take a look at the groupings, everything you need to know about point differential, why it's important. What are the difficult groups to be in? Another thing, by the numbers here, when you look at the winning percentage of all teams in their groups, the Bucks are in the easiest grouping as well. So could we see not only the Bucks start to piece together wins during this stretch here? Because all of these group play games are going to coincide with that stretch we referenced of these 11, 12 games that you have with a bulk of them being at home. Could they start to figure some things out and then all of a sudden use the NBA Cup to propel them. As Doc Rivers has said now, two straight games. The importance that it played for other teams. Younger teams that got, and granted, this isn't the category the Bucks are in, but younger teams that got postseason experience, if you will. What it did for the Pacers. Rick Carlisle saying, I don't think we reached the conference finals and go on to some of the heights that we did a season ago if it weren't for that experience in the NBA Cup. When they beat the Bucks in the semifinals and ultimately lost to the Los Angeles Lakers. So that's another thing. Maybe, just maybe, could be a launching pad for this team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. More after this on Bucks Talk.
The Hardwood homilies continue after this.
This is Bucks Talk. This is Bucks Talk.
99-85 final here inside of Fiserv Forum. The Bucks beat the Toronto Raptors tonight. And again, kind of jokingly mentioned, hey, games like this are great for the defensive rating. Offensive rating maybe not so much, but defensive rating can really make some progress. The Bucks entered play tonight with the 26th rated defense in the league at 115.7. After tonight, they're knocking on the door, being in the neighborhood of the upper half in the league. 113.1, 17th best in the league. Still a lot of work to be done. But a win is a win. And right now, winning is the important part for this Bucks team. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight. Let's head to the phone lines and start with Dylan in Mequonago. You're up first.
Hey, I just wanted to give a call in about the Bucks utilizing their younger guys. As you can see tonight with Ryan Rollins, with Dame out, he really stepped up. He's got career highs and everything they put up. His shot was falling. It was an excellent performance. I think we should utilize the younger guys a lot more. Get the guys off the bench, Tyler Smith, A.J. Johnson. I really think that they can bring a huge involvement to the team, really carry with Giannis and Dame.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Dylan. And look, I think one of the big things, areas where you saw the impact from those young guys was, I don't know if it's still referred to this, but you always used to see it called the hustle categories, hustle points. Loose balls, tracking those down, offensive rebounds, turnovers, second chance points. You have seen a notable impact from those players in that category. And Ryan Rollins, a big piece of this. It doesn't sound like it's anything serious that Ryan Rollins is dealing with, but with it being a back-to-back tomorrow, Doc Rivers said 50-50 at best, but and kind of trailed off a bit, made it sound as though we're probably not going to see Ryan Rollins tomorrow. Could present a couple of issues, which I'll get to in a second. But you just saw a couple of things with him. Going back to the Celtics game, here's what stood out most to me. Doc referenced he's a quick learner. He learned from some mistakes in the first half, applied those to the second half. You didn't see the same impact from Peyton Pritchard in that second half. I'm not saying that's all Ryan Rollins, but especially in those situations where that was his responsibility, it wasn't an issue. The wingspan that he has, three blocked shots in that game against the Celtics, that stood out, but tonight it was everything else. Loose balls, tracking those down, creating deflections and turnovers, five steals tonight from Ryan Rollins, 4 3-pointers that he made. The way he kept the ball moving. You can apply some of what we said about his defense on Peyton Pritchard to Grady Dick as well. Grady Dick started to get going in that first half, 22 points in the first half tonight. Grady Dick finished the game with 32. We saw Ryan Rollins on him quite a bit in the second half. And a lot of that, hey, learning from some of what brought him success, he being Grady Dick in the first half, and how do I adjust this? We saw that. There's a lot to like in what you're seeing from Ryan Rollins. But I thought the other things that were notable were how quickly the Bucks were getting into their sets with Ryan Rollins, the guy bringing the ball up the floor. And conversely, how much time was being zapped off the clock by the Raptors. When we saw Ryan Rollins as the point of attack defender picking guys up the full length of the floor. We've seen that be an issue for the Bucks for the last season plus now. If it's taking you just about every ounce in that 8-second clock to get past half court, well, number one, a third of your shot clock is gone by the time you cross midcourt. Then you got 16 seconds to get your offense set in the half court setting and find a good shot. We've seen the Bucks struggle with that. You got to push it. You got to save as much time as you can and get your offense in an advantageous spot. I think you saw a lot of that in the first half tonight, especially the way the Bucks started the game. Shots were starting to fall. Then once again, you start to hit the stretch where shots were not falling, but they stuck with the process. And again, they were doing the same thing to the Toronto Raptors. When he exited, you didn't see quite as much of it, but DeLon Wright did pick up some of that slack. Ryan Rollins, you know, he got an opportunity because maybe not so much injury, but struggles from other players. Injury, I guess, in terms of Gary Trent Jr., but struggles from Gary Trent Jr., starters, struggles from DeLon Wright. That opens the door for your opportunity. And the interview that we played that Ryan Rollins did with Dave Kane before the game tonight, you could hear the confidence coming through and you could hear him drilling home the message. So once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. I'm going to make the most of it. Supremely confident. Talked about his defensibility, his ability to score the ball as well, but knowing, look, this is a big opportunity. The door has opened for me, so now my job is to make sure that door doesn't shut. And albeit a small sample size, Ryan Rollins has done nothing that would warrant losing minutes, even when this team gets healthy. Same case for A.J. Green. Like, those two guys have really popped. We've seen some dynamic moments and plays from Andre Jackson Jr. The issue there is still going to be on the offensive end. We even heard Doc Rivers say after that game against the Celtics, wasn't an issue with injury or anything else. It was mostly just what Boston was able to do defensively. And that was one of the things we talked about a week ago, is, look, some of these things are working in some of these games. And frankly, against a team like the Raptors, tomorrow's opponent, the Pistons, the Charlotte Hornets, like, these are opponents, yeah, you can start to make those things work, putting Andre Jackson Jr. in the dunker spot, figuring out where to place him and playing him on the floor at the same time as Giannis against good defenses and especially switchable defenses like the Celtics. That's going to be the challenge of how much of this game can we develop for Andre so we can keep him on the floor in those moments. I don't think you have those issues or questions with Ryan Rollins and with A.J. Green. So I get everybody's in love with the youth movement here, and frankly, it was probably overdue. It is needed for this group. And I don't think we've seen anything from these guys that makes you believe these minutes are going to be snatched away from them. For the spot that this team is in, for some of the things they want to do, and Doc Rivers continuing to hint at playing small, but not being able to do all those lineups, or really some of those lineups, because Chris Middleton has not made a season debut yet. There's one stretch tonight where we saw a small ball lineup. Saw Bobby Portis at the five. And it was Pat Connaughton, DeLon Wright, Andre Jackson Jr., and A.J. Green on the floor with him. I am very curious to see more of those types of lineups. Not necessarily those same five guys, but Giannis, Chris Middleton, A.J. Green, maybe Ryan Rollins and Damian Lillard. Those types of groupings to continue to see Doc Rivers. Once this team gets healthy and the pieces fall into place more, that was the biggest thing we mentioned coming into this season. The roster just fits better than it did a season ago. And you look at the 2-8 start and you look at everything else that's plagued this team and you'd say, well, evidently that's not the case. I'm not trying to say Chris Middleton's return is going to solve everything, but it's a pretty big puzzle piece for this team. It's going to unlock some things in terms of how they can play differently and how they can play some small ball lineups. But you have to keep making these growths or this growth defensively because this team is going to have to find an offensive identity. Their identity is going to be the way the roster is constructed. We're going to win with our offense. Our defense has to be good enough. Your offense has been nowhere near good enough to start the season because of a lot of things. Guys have gotten off the shooting slumps. Chris Middleton's not on the floor as a connector. That was one thing that stood out towards the end of this game, too, when Ryan Rollins exited. No Damian Lillard already. Pat Connaughton and Giannis were probably your two main initiators and creators. So that's a thing to keep an eye on tomorrow against the Pistons. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Still a couple of calls to get to, and I mentioned the NBA Cup update, everything you need to know. We'll get to it after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
Final score tonight, Bucks beat the Toronto Raptors, get their third win of the season. Yes, 3-8, not where you hope to be. But winning right now is the most important part for this team. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and catch up with Will.i.am. You're up next.
Justin, Brandon, thank you so much for always taking my call. Hey, man, someone threw us a buoy because we wanted to be saved tonight, man. I am so pleased with our youth movement, like the last caller stated. Felt great to see the young guys get that chance. Really impressed with Ryan Rollins, really impressed with A.J. Green, and really impressed with the effort all around in this game. The intensity was there. The Bucks basketball, we know, was there. I got 2 points, and I want to question for you both. The two big points that really impressed me was, like you said right before the break here, the ability to lock down on Grady Dick this game and the ability of DeLon Wright and Ryan Rollins to get in there and just pester that team. You know, 5 steals apiece, really big minutes and big moments for those two especially since the right gentleman has not been on the floor as often. His shot did suffer. I know you saw a couple air balls, as did I, but I'm happy with our youth performance. Obviously, Giannis is going to show out in ball. But then my last little piece here is the Bobby Blackhole, Bobby Island. I don't mind the looks that Bobby was getting tonight. I don't mind the shots that A.J. Green took tonight, but they just need to go down. And with both those guys tonight, it seems like the ball would go halfway down and fly out or rim around and go down. Again, these are not bad shots, but when we get things going in this puzzle piece of the season, those things are going to be huge. And then my question for you both here, do you see Ryan Rollins entering the starting lineup to pack a punch of him and Dame, where either or could be ball handlers, then he could still have the ability to have the aggressive shooting guard? What are you guys' thoughts on that?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Will. I don't see that, at least not as of this moment. I think ultimately Gary Trent Jr. is going to return to the starting lineup. The tough part is, I don't know how much of this start from Gary Trent Jr. is the back issue that he has clearly been dealing with for most of this early portion of the season. How much of it is he's just kind of in his own head? I mean, there was times tonight where he had good looks and passed them up to get better looks or better looks for his teammates. And it's tough to get down on a guy for that when, you know, we heard from Doc, we got to move the ball. And the way we played tonight, that's everything that we're looking for in creating those threes. Second most threes the Bucks have attempted in franchise history tonight. I think this is the third highest attempt total we've seen in the league this season. They made 16 of them. You know, they were still very cold from the outside at 29%. But you spend money to make money. Like, you got to take threes. And that's, to me, one of the more encouraging things we haven't even talked about is the shot diet and where those shots were coming from tonight. Because you're going to have a hard time winning in this league. This year, this day and age, the past few years, it's going to be tough to win if you're taking a heavy volume of mid-range shots, of turnaround, post-ups, that type of shot. I mean, their three-point volume had decreased. If you're taking twos, and a lot of them, they better be dunks and layups. Like, that's the part you want to attack. That's tough to overcome. It's even tougher to overcome when your defense is the 26th rated defense in the league, and you're giving up a heavy volume of corner threes. Opponents are finishing at the rim at a higher rate against you than they are the rest of the league. Like, those are the things that open the door or keep the door open for a 2-8 start to the season. You know, that's not the only reason why, but those are big factors. So tonight, to me, that was one of the more important things, was 56 threes that they attempted, which just shows, okay, we got to take different shots here. We got to move the ball more. We got to touch the paint more. Not just Giannis, not just Damian Lillard, and I know there was no Dame tonight. I do think that was a factor, too, in why you saw so many threes of a guy that's capable of scoring 30 points plus per night. It's out of the lineup. Still don't have Chris Middleton. We're going with the youth movement here with these two guys in Ryan Rollins and A.J. Green starting the game tonight. We got to muck things up here, and we're going to have to take a lot of threes and just hope that they start to go in and we snap out of this. You know, Doc even joked before the game, Vince Carter was in the media room with us doing TV for the Raptors and said, Vince, have you ever had a shooting slump throughout your career? And he called out, yeah. What did you do during your slump? I kept shooting. Like, that's the message to all these guys, to Brook Lopez, to Bobby Portis, to Gary Trent Jr., everybody. It's remarkable that the Bucks have, or at least coming into tonight, had two of the top five in terms of percentage, three-point shooters in the league, and yet are struggling as much as they are from the outside. It just goes to show you how team-wide this has been. But 56 threes, I don't care so much about the 29% in their makes. The volume of the threes, to me, was a very important thing to see tonight. And now, again, as everything we've talked about, same case here. Do it again. Doesn't have to be 56 per se, but you can't start to drift back to you're taking 95 shots a game, and 31 of them are threes. Like, that's what you absolutely have to avoid. So continue to move down this path offensively. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. Squeeze in one more call here. Q in Milwaukee, you're up next.
Justin, I was focusing on that 29% too, and I can't remember a lot of games last year that we shot under 30% from behind the arc and won. And I think that number usually had to be closer to like 38-40% for us to win. So it helped that our opponent was missing most of their starting lineup. But it's still nice that a team that has been somewhat snake bitten so far this year could eke out a win tonight. I'm hoping we just have a offensive explosion tomorrow night that makes it a little easier for the guys in the starting lineup to take a break in the second half. What is happening? I've got two questions for you and then I'll hang up. What is happening in the third quarter that's allowing teams to get back into the game? And then my second question is there any injury update on Gary Trent Jr.? It was kind of strange that he only played 6 minutes tonight.
Yeah.
Thanks, Justin.
Yeah, thanks for the call. I'll start with the last one there. Doc said it wasn't – let me pull up his exact quote here. Wasn't related to the back. He's doing good. We just went in a different direction. We just got him back, and we didn't want to overuse him. So kind of a half this, half that of, okay, you're good, but we don't want to put you back out there. And yeah, Doc even said after, I think it was the Celtics game, I could just kind of see, or not the Celtics game. He didn't play in that one. Three games ago, we could see. I could see the way he was moving, and just saw, yeah, your back ain't right. So I do kind of take it as half and half of, okay, we got good reports in him. He said he's good to go. You could see him during timeouts. He was wearing a wrap around his back too. I think it was partially. We like what we're doing here with AJ Green, and I do want to touch on what else he brought. But also, let's not risk anything else with Gary. Like, let's just keep going down this path, and we can start to slowly work Gary Trent Jr. back into the mix. The other things that you brought up, I mean, first of all, the three-point shooting by the Bucks. When was the last time they won a game shooting this low percentage of threes? Well, this year, obviously, night one in Philadelphia, the Bucks did not shoot all that well from three, and did shoot that well and won the game. You got to go back end of last year against the Charlotte Hornets, a night where the Bucks did have that type of performance and won the game. AJ Green, though, not to lose that that thought. I thought tonight was, you know, just one of those games where you hear it a lot. You know, I know I talked about it with some young players, and Mike Budenholzer used to say this all the time. Make winning plays without scoring the basketball. Like, how can you leave an impact on this game if the offense isn't flowing through you? You know, like, not to bring up old names and harp on things, but Christian Wood. When you look at the numbers that Christian Wood was putting up in the G League, people would be up in arms. How is this guy not playing for us up at this level? Look at, he just had 40 points and a 20-20 in the G League. And you'd repeatedly hear, make winning plays without scoring the basketball. We need you to rebound. We need you to defend. We need you to do these other things to get your teammates involved. We got Giannis. We got Chris Middleton. We're not looking for you to score 40 points. AJ Green, to me tonight, symbolized all of that. And the importance that he can bring as a player that's really carving out a role as a two-way guy. You know, you can look at AJ Green and think, well, this guy, he's probably a subpar defender. And it's not true. We've seen him time and time again display his defensive ability. He did not have a great shooting night. He took a career-high 14 threes in this game and only made four of them. But he played 30 minutes in this game, and it wasn't just because Gary Trent Jr. only had 6 minutes. Ryan Rollins went out. No Damian Lillard, too. It wasn't just because of that. It's because he was defensively active. He was rebounding. He was just keeping his nose around the ball and making those plays. Those are the important things for everybody. I don't want to say these guys don't have to do it, but especially for everybody outside of Giannis, Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton, like, those are the things you need to do to help this team and to help yourself and continue to carve out those minutes. And that's what we saw, especially from A.J. Green tonight. 855-616-1620. That is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. I teased it so much. We will get to it next. The NBA Cup updates. Everything you need to know. Who's in the Bucks group? When's their next group play game? Why is point differential important? We'll get into that conversation next.
You're listening to Bucks Talk. The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
Bucks knock off the Charlotte Hornets. The Toronto Raptors tonight. They have the Charlotte Hornets this weekend. They're 3-8. Again, 2.5 games out of the 3 seed in the Eastern Conference are the Bucks. To get to one of those last questions we were asked, it's the 24th time in this, what I would classify as era of Bucks basketball, starting in the 2018-19 season. When Mike Budenholzer arrived, when Giannis became an MVP, when this team became a perennial threat to win an NBA championship. 24th time that the Bucks have won a game despite shooting 29% or less from three. And for context, Bucks have played 484 regular season games since then. 24 of them they've won when shooting that low in a game. The NBA Cup, I mentioned. Bucks get the win. Point differential is going to be important. So we've seen all of the Eastern Conference games go final, and that's most important to the Bucks. So running through these groups, Group A is arguably the most difficult top to bottom in the East. That is the New York Knicks, the Orlando Magic, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Brooklyn Nets, and the Charlotte Hornets. Looking at the standings for them, I mentioned by the numbers, the Bucks are in the easiest group in group play here. They're in Group B are the Bucks, and that's the Pacers, the Heat, the Raptors, and the Detroit Pistons. But those groups that we just mentioned, or those teams in Group A, again, Knicks, Magic, Sixers, Nets, and Hornets. When you look at the standings, the Hornets are just outside of the play-in tournament right now. The 76ers have the second-worst record in the Eastern Conference. Those other teams, Knicks are the 4 seed. Magic are the 3 seed. Top to bottom, and the Brooklyn Nets, who have been the darlings right now at the 6 seed at 5-6, top to bottom may be the most difficult. Then you have Group C that is very top-heavy. The Celtics, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Chicago Bulls, the Washington Wizards, and oh, by the way, the Atlanta Hawks, who beat the Celtics tonight in Boston. So in that group, you have the Atlanta Hawks right now atop the group, beating the Boston Celtics. In the Bucks group, the Pistons beat the Miami Heat. So the Bucks play the Pistons tomorrow night here at Fiserv Forum. That is not a group play game. These games take place on Tuesdays and Fridays through the month of November. And the easiest way to tell if your team is playing in a group play game is to simply look at the floor. If it looks any different than what you're accustomed to, home or road for the Bucks. A very colorful floor with a trophy on the floor, that is a group play game. So in Group B, the Indiana Pacers were idle. Every single night of group play, you're going to have one team in your group, since there's five, that are idle, that is idle. Tonight it was the Pacers. Friday it's going to be the Bucks. But the Pistons won, so the Heat and the Raptors lose. You're not going to advance to the knockout round with two losses. That's what we saw last year, and that's the reality when it comes down to point differential. So beating these teams that you're expected to beat, that you should beat, is going to be of the utmost importance. if you want to advance in the group play into the knockout round, and again, just to dig yourself out of this 2-8 hole. Your home games in the NBA Cup group play games were tonight and then next Friday night against the Indiana Pacers in a game that's going to carry a lot of intrigue. Not only what the Pacers did to the Bucks in the regular season last year, what they did in the in-season tournament, as it was then dubbed a year ago, beating the Bucks in the semifinals, and then, of course, beating the Bucks in the first round of the playoffs. So those are your home games. Your two road games are the Pistons and the Miami Heat. 76ers, by the way, got Joel Embiid back tonight. They lost. Joel Embiid looked very rusty in his return to the floor. So the Knicks get into the win column in their group. I mentioned point differential being very important. And that is because it's just four games that you play. So you're going to have teams that finish tied. The top three seeds are determined by who finishes with the best record in their groups. So in other words, let's say the Bucks go 4-0 in group play. They would have beaten all four of those teams. So they would be the winner of that group. So you have the three group winners and then one wild card team. The wild card tiebreaker, and you know, even if you have two teams that go 3-1, if it's not settled by head-to-head, the tiebreaker is going to be point differential. So in other words, how much do you beat teams by? And that's why the final few minutes of tonight were very important. As of this moment in the Eastern Conference, the Bucks have the second largest point differential in group play. Only the Magic have a higher point differential, having beat the Charlotte Hornets earlier tonight by 25 points. So winning games and how much you win by is going to be very important as we progress here in the NBA Cup. But again, your next NBA Cup group play game is 1 week from Friday at home against those Indiana Pacers. So road games in Detroit and road games in Miami. That makes up your schedule here in this NBA Cup. So the final two games that the Bucks play in the NBA Cup will be road games. It does extend into the first week of December, I said, through November, but it wraps up December 3rd. Tomorrow night, though, non-NBA Cup game, but still an intriguing game. The Bucks and the Detroit Pistons from here inside a Fiserv Forum. That is a 7 o'clock tip. 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. As always, we'll be back afterwards with Bucks Talk. So the big thing to keep an eye on tomorrow, the availability of Gary Trent Jr., players like Ryan Rollins. But what can the Bucks carry over from tonight and continue to stack those successes and find some consistency? We'll find out together tomorrow night. Again, 7 o'clock tip, 6:30 is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you then.